And so all the children dismissed. For the rest of us, let's take our Bibles to Romans chapter 12, if we will. Romans chapter 12. We are continuing our series on the Holy Spirit. And 2 weeks ago, we started with, almost 3 weeks ago, because we had youth explosion. 3 weeks ago, we started with the gifts of the Spirit. And we talked about the gifts of the Spirit, and then we mentioned that when we start tonight, we'll start listing some of the gifts of the Spirit and go through and discuss those. And so we want to look at the two main passages. And we're going first to Romans chapter 12. It's going to be pulled up here on the screen as well. We'll start with verse 6, and we'll go down through verse 8. Stand, if you will, if you're able to, and follow along as we look at these verses. And let me ask you to sort of keep your finger, because we'll go back to these same passages. Only two places you'll need to turn tonight. In verse 6 it says, "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." So this is the first passage in the New Testament that literally is sharing the spiritual gifts, but the emphasis here is not just that we know what's on the list. The emphasis is whatever your spiritual gift is, God wants us to put our energy into fulfilling. So it's not enough just that you go through a spiritual gift test and say, well, I know what my gifts are. It's this, this, and this. No, the emphasis is, what are you doing with those gifts? So God gives each of us a gift in order to minister in the local church. And that gift is for every one of us, not just the pastor, not just a staff member, not just a teacher, but every believer in the body of Christ in a local church has a gift, and that gift is meant to be a blessing to the whole. And we've got to exercise that gift that we have. So hopefully tonight, as we go over some of these gifts, you'll perhaps recognize one or two of yours. Usually one would have one dominant one and maybe several other that are less dominant, but you feel like, I feel like God wants me to do that too. Well, that's a good thing. I hope you have a bunch of them. But it just means you're going to be busy serving, okay? Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And here we'll look, starting at verse 4, and going down through verse 11. And the Bible says, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversity of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." And then we'll start with the gifts, starting in verse 8. "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues." And then in verse 11 it says, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit divideth to every man severally as he will." And remember, 3 weeks ago we found out when God gives a spiritual gift, it comes hand in glove. The word severally in Greek means according to your individual characteristics. It's the Greek word of which we get the word idiosyncrasies, those little ticks, those little ways we do things, the way we laugh, the the way we individually respond, and that sets us apart from everyone else other than our facial features. And so the Holy Spirit takes who we are and who He knows us to be, and He knows our inner self, and He gives us a gift that's like hand and glove. So God is not giving you a spirit to say, oh, I don't like that one. That's such a bothering thing. No. You're going to say, you know, I like that. That fits me. I can do that one because that's who I am. If you have the gifts of giving, for instance, boy, that's me. You say, boy, that's me. I just love to help people. I just love to give. I just look for opportunities to be a blessing to someone. Well, it's because God has given you that gift according to your personality. Now, we have one more verse in chapter 12, and that's verse 28. And in verse 28, it says, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. And we'll stop right there. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, oh, how I pray the Holy Spirit of God would be our special guest. And Holy Spirit, as we speak of You, I pray that we would give You that rightful position in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. You're the one who guides us. You're the one who teaches us all things whatsoever Jesus said. And Lord, we want to be like our Savior, and that's Your role in our life. And we want to be a blessing to the church that Jesus established. And Holy Spirit, You give us these gifts. And I pray that tonight we'll see how important they are and how our role as an individual Christian is so vitally important in the local church in which we're a part. So let the Spirit of God use the Word of God to be a blessing and challenge to all of us tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. And as you're seated, then let's go back to Romans chapter 12. Now, those two passages that we read, Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, are the passage of which we find the spiritual gifts. And you can name a number all of those, but you're going to find that when it comes to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's going to mention some of those that are already mentioned in Romans chapter 12. And so no need counting those twice. So someone said, oh, there's 19 of them. Well, if you count some twice, you come up with more. Or if you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and it says, God gave gifts unto men, and He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastor and teacher. He names four of those. The one pastor and teachers is not pastor, comma, and teacher. It is pastor and teacher. And so it's called in the Scripture the teaching pastor or the head pastor. So the Bible says the qualification of a pastor is apt to teach. So that is a characteristic. Preaching, teaching. Someone said the difference between preaching and teaching is you're louder when you preach. So I don't know. But I do think that every preaching ought to have teaching, and every teaching ought to have a little preach to it. Nothing worse than boring teaching. Nothing worse than hearing lively preaching but not getting taught much while it's going on. So you have to have those interlock. They got to work together. You got to have preaching that teaches. You got to have teaching that has a little preach in it. But as is pointed out, those are offices to the church. This is not a spiritual gift given to an individual per se. It is a gift given to the local church. So to that individual who's been called of God, it is not a spiritual gift to be a pastor. A pastor exercises his spiritual gifts in the call of God on his life. And so he has to have some of these spiritual gifts. So we exclude Ephesians chapter 4 as particularly spiritual gifts because that's not particularly what he was talking about, apostles. Jesus called forth the apostles, and in the book of Acts, we find the particular requirements of an apostle. They had to be there in the ministry of Jesus, starting with the baptism of John all the way to the resurrection. And the only one outside of that group was the Apostle Paul, who calls himself an apostle, but he will also say, I'm an apostle called out of due order. I wasn't called like everyone else. God met me on the road to Damascus. God taught me in Arabia for 3 years. And he was personally taught of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he didn't even meet with the apostles until after that. So he's saying, the apostles didn't teach me about Christianity. Jesus taught me. And what I share having gotten from him. Okay, with that being said, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, the Bible says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given on us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, the Greek word translated prophecy in both passages, Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, properly means a speaking forth. It is not always, when we think of prophecy, we think of Old Testament prophecy, when God would speak to a prophet and he would tell things that were going to come about. And he spoke that by the authority of the Lord. But a prophecy in this is the speaking forth of God's truth and speaking forth of God's word. And in that regard, when a person is preaching or teaching the Word of God, that is an element of prophecy. You're speaking forth the Word of God. And so that is what it's talking about. It's that which is emanating from divine inspiration, declaring the purposes of God, whether it's reproving or admonishing or comforting or revealing what the Word of God says, especially preaching forth and even future events. You say, you mean you preach future events? Well, I'm teaching through the book of Revelation now. Yeah, that's all future events. And so you're getting into, when you preach the Word of God, you're telling what was, what is, and what is going to happen. Because all of that is found in this inspired book, right? And so you are prophesying about things. When you say the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, you take 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and you're going to talk about in a moment, in the blinking of an eye, you know, the Lord's going to come, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And you're going to share forth the return of the Lord with great power and authority, because it's thus saith the Lord. It's what God's word says. By the way, we live in a day where a lot of people are taught in seminaries today that the rapture is not going to occur. Wow. And yet the Bible speaks about it. Doesn't say the word rapture. The Bible says we'll be caught up in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And yet the Bible is the authority. And so I believe we can still preach that with all authority and confidence, because we're just sharing the Word of God. If you'll just read the Bible, forget some of the man-made commentaries, but just read the Bible, you'll believe Jesus is coming back again. Amen? He is coming back for us. So the prophecy is declaring divine will to interpret the purposes of God, make known the way of truth that God has designed, and it's to influence people for the cause of Christ. Now, that can happen, ladies, in Bible studies, when you're teaching. You are, in essence, prophet speaking forth the Word of God. And so if you're teaching first graders, or you're teaching senior high students, or you're teaching college age, or you're teaching senior adults, when you teach the Bible, speak it with authority. It's not your authority. We're not promoting us. We're promoting the authority of God's holy, inerrant, inspired, everlasting Word. Infallible. And so we can preach it with all authority, because that's exactly how God wrote it. So when you're given a little Bible study or having family devotion, speak it with authority. It's God's word. When you share it with a friend and you give them a Bible verse, you can speak it with authority. You don't say, well, I hope God a comforter. Well, the Bible says he's the God of all comfort. Of course he's going to comfort somebody, especially his child. You can speak that with confidence. You will know that you know that you know that when you're going through pain, the Holy Spirit of God's going to bring comfort to you. So speak it forth. So it says, whether you prophesy, in verse 6, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. How much do you believe God's word? I'm like the guy who says, I believe it from cover to cover, and I believe the cover because it says Holy Bible. Except my cover, all of Bible is worn out. But anyway, it says it right in here when it was new. And so we believe the word of God and have great faith that what God said he meant and what God meant he said, and preach it forth and teach it forth. The secondly is the word ministry, and that's found in verse 7. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Now, some would say that word ministry particularly means serving. It's interesting that the very word we use for deacon in a church, a deacon of a local church, that is the same Greek word that means serving. And so a deacon is not a position of power, it's a position of service. You want to be a blessing. You want to be an encouragement. You want to be a help to others. And so it's serving the pastor and serving that local church under the authority of that pastor. And that's what the word is. But we don't have to be a deacon to serve or to minister. We just have to have that task, that gift of the Holy Spirit. And some people have it more than others. Every once in a while, I would go through the church office and I see some of our members in there. And it doesn't matter what's going on in church. They're just always here. I saw them making T-shirts for Youth Explosion. I saw them putting folders together. I saw them stuffing envelopes. I see them doing this and doing that. And I was saying to a couple that were there doing all that, because it seems like they're just always there, Mike and Heidi. And I said, Mike, the only thing left is preach. I guess you'll have to preach now. You've done everything else in the church because he has a heart to serve. And they are so excited to be Christians. They got saved the same day. They got baptized the same day. They joined the church the same day. And they want to serve together and serve the Lord. Last week, I got a call from Mike. And he said, oh, Pastor, pray for me. I went to the doctor to get my medical. And he said my blood pressure was too high. And if I can't get a test and do better, then I'm going to lose my CDL license. I won't be able to drive. And I love driving for the church however I can. And praise God for that. We have others that like to do that and love to do that. And I said, Mike, I said, God's in charge. And he knows everything. And he knows your health. And he's the great physician. Why don't we just pray right now and ask him? So I was down in California and I prayed on the phone. I said, now, you go and you have it checked today. And so he texted me about 3 hours later and said, I passed. Praise the Lord. And so he said, my blood pressure was down and I got my CDL and I got tested for my physical. I'm all good to go. Praise the Lord. Isn't that a good thing? When you want to serve, you're hurt when you can't because you want to. Now, how do you know you don't have that gift? It's when you can't serve, you say, oh, good. So you probably don't have that gift. But when you say, man, oh, I was so looking forward to that. I wanted to do that. You probably have that gift of ministering. And by the way, church needs a lot of people with that gift in a church. A lot of people. Because there's so many things to do for the cause of Christ. And so serving or ministry found in verse 7. We also have in verse 7 the word teaching. Notice it says, or he that teacheth on teaching. So in other words, you apply yourself. If God's given you that gift of teaching and given you an area of influence to teach His Word, maybe a Sunday school teacher, maybe sharing it a message, maybe doing one of the level up things. Several of our laymen do these, and they're all good. But that's an area you could teach. And so if God has given you that gift of teaching, it's saying apply yourself. Apply yourself. We have many teachers here at Grandview Christian Academy. That's not something that they said, hey, I want to get wealthy, so I should go into teaching. Man, especially at a Christian school. I think I should go teach at a Christian school because, you know, I think I could just get wealthy. If that's true, you don't have the gift of discernment. But if you're thinking that, no, it's not about money. They're thinking, you know, somebody taught me. Most everyone, a teacher in a Christian school, had somebody who taught them. Maybe they were homeschooled at home and their parents poured into them. Many of them went to a Christian school themselves and they had individuals who poured and changed their life. And they're thinking, oh, I wish I could do that for someone. And they have that desire to teach. And so it ought to be to everyone who teaches God's Word. We ought to apply ourselves. We ought to give ourselves to it. And by the way, one of the greatest things about teaching is that while you're doing it, you're not only basing the teaching on the study you've done, you're trusting that while you're teaching, the Holy Spirit of God will do something. The Holy Spirit of God will speak to hearts. How am I going to change this eighth grader's heart? The Holy Spirit can do that. How am I going to change these fourth graders or four-year-olds that are running all over? Well, the Holy Spirit can do that. He touched your heart at a young age. He can touch their heart at a young age. You see, the Holy Spirit. So you're giving yourself to teaching, knowing that you are a vessel of the Holy Spirit of God. And every one of us that have that particular gift of which we're mentioning tonight, every one of us have that capacity to be mightily used for the cause of Jesus Christ in the local church through the gift that God has given us. And what Paul is saying here in chapter 12 of Romans, use it. Use it with authority, with passion. Don't teach truth as though it's lifeless. I learned many years ago, I heard a great preacher, Dr. Leonard Ravenhill. He's been in heaven for many years now. And he said, you can have 32 degrees behind your name and still be frozen. And it took us a while to think that through. So study and knowledge in itself is dead. Knowledge puffeth up. But the Spirit, the Word killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Amen. And so let the Spirit of God touch you, whether you're helping, whether you're vacuuming, whistle while you work, hum a hymn or something, and let the Spirit of God use you. Serving, ministry, teaching. And then in verse 8, we have exhortation. It says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. Now, exhorting, that gift is particularly those who call upon others to heed and to follow God's truth. It is encouraging them to obey the truth of God's Word. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, that's someone who says, I sure missed you last Sunday. I was so glad to see you this Sunday. I missed you last weekend. I had several people who have that gift tonight because they said, Pastor, I missed you Sunday. Well, yeah, I was down there. I went to church. But I appreciate it. That's a gift of exhortation. And we ought to apply that, especially if that's our gift, to exhort one another. It may involve correction or building others up by strengthening the weak faith or comforting in trials. It's that person who always has a kind word, always has an encouraging word. And oh, I think that's some of the best Christians in the whole world. I think sometimes perhaps it's going to be those Christians that are way above all the preachers and missionaries and teachers, because they're never behind a pulpit, but they just always have encouraging words for other believers. Now, any of us could do that, but especially if that's our gift. Those who have that gift of exhorting, and you just love encouraging people. I just love to go around when I see little boys especially, and I go to different churches and ours, and they're all dressed up, and I'll look down and say, "Are you preaching this morning? You look like a preacher." And they go, "No." "Well, you look like one. You need my sermon notes?" I love to encourage little kids. Fill their life with hope. Fill their life with encouragement. See what they could be for the cause of Christ. And encourage them. What a wonderful gift. If you've got that, I hope you don't feel like a second-rate Christian. That's a first-rate gift, encouraging others. And what a blessing that is, exhortation. And then in verse 8 of chapter 12, it says, "Giving, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity." Now, here's the thing. If you have the gift of giving, you ought to exercise it in such a fashion that almost no one knows. Almost no one knows about it. Now, I've heard people say, "Well, you know, the Bible says don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, and so I can't fill out a pledge card, or I can't sign my name." No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about motive. Motive. Is it your motive to get noticed? If that is, that's your reward. But for someone to recognize you for something, that's not taking away any heavenly rewards whatsoever. But someone who has the gift of giving, they don't make a big deal of it. Now, giving is one of the things that helps a church and any missionary and any ministry go forward for the cause of Christ. Oh, it's a big one. I've said this for many years. If I wasn't a pastor, I'd be a missionary. I think as a pastor, you can over time see more people called into ministry and more people pastoring and more people into missions, because those young people on your ministry go off to Bible college and God will use them in many different ways. But if I wasn't a pastor, I'd be a missionary, because a missionary could be placed in a country where you could see tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands over a 40-year ministry come to faith in Christ. Wonderful. You can go to the Philippines and preach to 1,200 students in a high school and see 500 of them stand up that they're professing faith. Where are you going to see that? You can see God do amazing things on the mission field. So if I wasn't a pastor, I'd want to be a missionary. But if I wasn't a pastor and a missionary, I'd want to be a businessman, a Christian businessman. I'd want to make as much as I can and give as much as I can for the cause of Christ. Because Christian businessmen have funded as much work and ministry around this world, there could not be a missionary serving effectively without somebody taking care of things, somebody supplying the needs, somebody paying. The Biazos are doing a great job, but our church and others help buy the land. Our church and others help build the building. So we're helping. Now they're serving. God's blessing their ministry. But much of the funds that got it going have come from here. And that's a good thing. And we ought to praise God for that. And so if God's given you that gift of giving, you be proud of that. That's a wonderful, wonderful gift. And don't think, "Well, I'm not in ministry." No, you are. Everything we do for Christ as a Christian is not a job, it's a vocation. And the Bible says to walk worthy of the vocation in which you are called. And if you're a plumber, that's a God-called vocation. Because as a Christian, we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. Us to do. Not some other Christian, but this is God's will for my life. That I work in this factory. That I do this for the cause of Christ. And so out of that, you're being blessed, but you also are a blessing to the work of God around the world. And send it through the agency of that local church, and then it will scatter around the world. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. See, you give to a local church, and you take that gift, that tithe, that offering. If you got the gift of giving, you're doing far more than that. I was preaching in North Carolina and doing a conference on raising funds to pay off the church debt and stuff. And I've just said, you know, you sow bountifully, you reap also bountifully. I said, you know, some people could easily double what they give. And I went to the restroom about an hour after that in a break, and there was a man coming out of the church. He said, you know, Pastor, he said, I got a business, and God's been blessing me. And when you said this, and he quoted me, but you know how it is, Pastor, I forget what I said 5 minutes ago. And he said, you said double. And I did not realize I said that. But he said, the Holy Spirit said to me, double. And I said, yes. I was wondering what I should do. And I've just decided, I'm doubling my giving. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I got a card from the pastor yesterday. And he said, Pastor, our offerings have shot through the roof. And it's just amazing what God's doing and what we'll be able to do with those extra funds. Praise God. That's a wonderful thing. I don't think there's any pastor in the world that's saying, oh, listen, we got too much. Don't give. Just hold it in. You know, don't. No, no. The vision of ministry is always bigger and always larger than the support to fund it. Always. The vision of a pastor is always bigger than the funds to fund it. But that's by nature, because that keeps a man humble. That keeps him on his knees. That keeps him praying, depending on God and not just people. So if you have that gift of giving, use it. And the Bible says, let him do it with simplicity. You know, you're not just putting the check on top so everybody sees a big number. No, you're just, you know, it's for the Lord. It's not, you know, it's not for anybody to look at. What you do as unto the Lord. Amen? If we're not doing it as unto the Lord, we're wasting our time doing it. Because we're not living for the applause of men. We're looking for the applause of one person. And that's God Almighty and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, God. Okay, giving. And now we look at leadership, or he that ruleth, in verse 8. And let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. Now, this is a gift that God gives leaders in the church who preside over, who have management of other people in the church. The word literally means to guide. And it carries with it the idea of one who steers the ship. And that pastor has that steering wheel of the church because he's a man placed in authority. But let me just tell you, as a church grows, he needs many helpers. Many helpers. That's why we have assistant pastors. That's why we have associate pastors. That's why we have administrative pastors. That's why we have youth pastors. Because he can't do it all. He can only be in one class. He can't be in every class. He's not in the nursery. He's not in the teen room on the third floor. He has to have people helping him steer the will of the church as it gets bigger and bigger. He needs more help and more help. Now, maybe some of you have seen on video of old ships, and you got someone at the helm. And by the way, it's not the captain, but the captain's giving out the orders, and then someone has that wheel, and he's pulling on that wheel. You've seen that. But you've also seen when they have these sailboats that are racing, and they have a crew. And when they have to change the tack or the direction of that sail, it takes all of them. It takes every single one of them. They're all pulling on some rope. They're all leaning over to one side or the other so it doesn't... It takes everybody. And so he that ruleth, that's the one who helps the direction. And sometimes it takes a lot of people in a church as it gets bigger to lead in that direction. Our deacons and our staff and all those people who are in positions of leadership. And so they help guide the course of the church. And then in verse 8, we come to this last one. And next Wednesday, we will get into the book of 1 Corinthians, and we'll see those spiritual gifts mentioned there. But we'll stop right here in verse 8 of chapter 12 of Romans. And he that ruleth with diligence, in other words, give yourself to it, be faithful to it, be diligent to it. And he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Mercy with cheerfulness. Now that's an interesting combination there, isn't it? Mercy is the one who gives something to someone they don't really deserve, but you do it cheerfully. That's someone who hurt you, but you give mercy with a smile. That's someone who maybe you thought betrayed you, but you give mercy with a smile, and you mean it, because you know what God did for you. And he wants you to do that for others. If we would just be mindful of how much God has forgiven us of, it would be so easy to forgive other believers. The Bible says we're to forgive others as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. But you don't know what they did. And God says, yeah, but I know what you did. Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't say anything. I want to show mercy with cheerfulness. Be kind. You know, someone's been out of church for 6 months. They come to church and you say, yeah, I think the world beat them up a little. They come to church. You be the first to hit. You be like a beehive right to them and say, it's so good to see you. Man, it's so good. You've made my day. We sure love you. We have people on Sunday morning, I know, that went through life and struggles and problems happened in their life. But they show up in church, and I know how the devil is. Yeah, you go to church and you guess what? Everybody's going to preach at you. No, everybody's going to love you. Everybody's going to say, it's so good to see you. Everybody's going to go up and shake your hand and say, God bless you. What a joy. Because that's what Christians do, right? Amen. The world tears down. We build up. That's our job. Build up one another. Edify one another. And so mercy, closely linked with the gift of encouragement, the gift of mercy is obvious in those who have compassion toward others who are in distress, showing sympathy, sensitivity, coupled with the desire and the resources to lessen their suffering in a kind and cheerful manner. Now, for instance, we give these lists of those going through trials. When they can come back to church, they ought to be hugged by dozens of people. They ought to be loved on by dozens of people. They go through heartache. I remember just a few weeks ago, I saw Melissa coming through the office, and we've been so praying for them. I heard the funeral went well, and God blessed, and people got saved. Praise the Lord for that. But I know that Suda's heart was hurting. I went over to Melissa and gave her a hug and just said, we sure love you. And we do. And this church loves you. And every time one of our members are going through a heartache, we love them. Now, I told Pastor, one day you'll be old enough, you can hug the ladies too. But you're not there yet. But I'll be 70 this year. Dr. Hiles used to say, I can hug them when they're under 6 and over 60. But then when he was 60, he said, I got to raise it because those 60-year-old women are looking pretty nice, so I can't do that. So as I get near 70, I trust myself. And I'm just hugging them around the side saying, we love you. And God bless you. May everyone who's going through a burden and a heartache and a difficulty here in this church have people who have that gift of mercy, but they use it for the cause of Christ. Oh, what a blessing. That's better than what any preacher can preach at a funeral, is having dozens of people just surround them in love and let them know how much they appreciate them, how much they love them. So we're going to stop right here in Romans chapter 12. And we're ending here with this verse 8. But again, the emphasis of this chapter is not just to spell out the spiritual gifts. It's if you've got that gift, use it. Use it. Use it for the glory of God. Don't let it be like a gift that someone gives you and you look at it and say, well, wonderful. And you say, what did they give you? Something I can re-gift. No, don't let it be a gift. Well, thank you, Jesus, but I really don't have a purpose for this one. No, if the Holy Spirit of God is given to you, use it. Use it for His glory. Use it for the body of Christ. Use it to comfort, encourage, and challenge, and if it's teaching, do whatever it is with all your might. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Pour your life, your passion. Let the Holy Spirit of God flow through you to be a great blessing to others in the church. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And oh, how I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart. Perhaps even as we've listed these in Romans chapter 12, you're saying, I got this one. This one's mine. Or I got a combination of several of these. That's great. Wonderful. Wonderful. Would you just tell Jesus you're going to use it? Would you let the Holy Spirit know that He can flow through you to be a blessing and a help to others? Oh, He wants to do that. You're important to the body of Christ. You make a difference. You're an encouragement. Heavenly Father, oh, how I pray the Holy Spirit will speak to all of our hearts. And Lord, those who have been in ministry or different areas for a long time, long time. Lord, would you give us a fresh vision, a fresh vitality, as we exercise that gift that you've given us. Lord, let's not get lazy in the gift that you've given us, but help us be responsive and passionate and serve with great ability and have mercy with cheerfulness. Lord, help us. We know we're nothing. Lord, we're just sinners saved by your grace. But you loved us so much that you saved us. And you love people around us so much that you've gifted us. And you wanted us to be a blessing to others through these gifts that you give us. So, Heavenly Father, help us to do it with great enthusiasm and determination. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Let God speak to your heart. Maybe while you stand, you talk to the Lord about that gift that He's given you, about having that passion reignited. Maybe you've served for so long that passion has waned a little bit. It can happen. Let's just all determine we're going to serve with great enthusiasm. Thank you. God bless you. So good to have each one of you here with us. For those in the Best Years Club, remember that we have a meal at Kissing Kate's breakfast at 9 tomorrow. We do that every other Thursday, and it will be this Thursday. And then also this Friday at noon in the Abundant Life class, we are having a taco salad luncheon together, and it's all about food and fellowship, and more fellowship than food. It's great time, and that's at 12. I hope you can make that as well, and you are dismissed. God bless you.